Welcome to Spotcast. This is episode 50 for the first time in live in Technicolor. Technicolor on the big screen. Live. Ooh, live. Okay. So how do we get out of the screen here? Let's stop sharing. So there we are. This is Jonathan and I'm Tim. This is Jonathan there. And there's Howard the Duck poster and his Back to the Future poster.
Yeah.
I know Justin's jealous. All right. So if he ever listens to the show, who knows? All right. Well, let's just dig into some fact check there.
Fact check. Well, the only thing that I could come up with for fact check, it's been a while since we've recorded. Yeah. We took a little bit of a summer hiatus since we all had places to go and things to do. And it was a little dry sci-fi wise. Yeah. It was pointed out by our number one fan that we talked about the Cats trailer in mm-hmm. the last episode when we were doing our trailer-o-rama. Mm-hmm. And we never actually circled back and talked about how damn bad that Cats trailer was.
I didn't watch it. That's how bad it was.
Yeah, it was.
I could just imagine how bad it would be, right?
It was maybe the dumbest thing I've ever seen put to film. And I've seen a lot of bad movies over the years.
Right, right.
But it looks epically, tragically, like I'm embarrassed for those participating yeah. bad. So yes, that was all we have for a fact check. We did not circle back on Cats. Good luck to that movie. I hope it does well because it looks like it's going to need some help.
All right. Well, let's dig in some stuff here. We have a lot of catching up to do. So can we just whip through these real quick?
Yeah. There was a few things that I thought we should probably touch base on because we hadn't really talked about them so far. So I wanted to.
we got one posted here behind me about Spider-Man is out of the MCU thanks to Disney/Sony standoff.
Yeah. And the follow-up item to that is no wait, he's back. So we haven't recorded in so long. We actually literally circled all the way around from Spider-Man has left the MCU thanks to a standoff. Oh, mm-hmm. no, wait, they've actually come back to the table and settled that. So that was a big kerfuffle. And, you know, we probably would have made many mountains out of that little molehill. But they've got it all straightened out. And apparently for at least one more picture, Spider-Man picture, and then apparently at least one other MCU movie, we're going to get Spider-Man back in the MCU, which is great news. Cool. Obviously, a fun character and deserves to be part of the MCU. It's a shame that there's this weird business arrangement that leaves them out hanging out there. But
okay, and by the way, it's episode 50 in case I end up cutting the actual introduction. Oh, by the way, welcome to episode 50. I'm Tim Mitran. I'm in Toronto, Ontario, and I'm joined once again by Jonathan Kuhlein in Mr. and Mississauga, Ontario.
Hey, hello, everybody.
We're back. Woo-hoo! All right, cool. Now I can stop sharing. All right, so back to where we were. Where did we leave off? Well, I guess we can talk about Disney Plus, right?
Yeah, Disney Plus. So we also got some news sort of late in the summertime about Disney Plus. They had their Disney had its D23 conference mm-hmm. out there in Anaheim, and they dropped another bunch of new shows on us, which is exciting. So we got three new Marvel shows that are going to be on Disney Plus. We got Moon Knight, we got Ms. Marvel, and we got She-Hulk, all of which really interesting potential series. And we also got confirmation that they're finally going to circle back and do Obi-Wan Kenobi on Disney Plus, starring Ewan McGregor.
Oh, really?
So,
wow.
Yeah. Wow. So definitely some exciting news there. I'm a fan of all those comic book characters and Obi-Wan, so I'm excited for this. This is just becoming like the no-brainer purchase of the year, buying Disney Plus.
If it's on for like 7 or 8 years, we can actually watch him age into Alec Guinness, right?
That's right. So eventually he's just going to go full gray and it won't matter.
Yeah.
In other new news, mm-hmm. we got news that they're making.
Wait, I'm still in the new news or the old news?
No, this is the new news. We've got a couple more newish news. Well, relatively. No, we're not in the newer news. We're in the old,
new news. Yeah,
the big new news. Big old news.
All right.
Matrix 4. We're getting a Matrix Part 4. Keanu Reeves, Carrie Ann Moss, and one of the Wachowski sisters is going to come back and do a Matrix Part 4. Yes. Well, the brothers have both transitioned, so they are both.
Both
identified women now.
Okay.
So Lana is going to come back and.
This is why we shouldn't be doing video because, you know.
Yeah.
Too bad.
So sad. So that's pretty exciting. Again, I'm curious to see how they come at this. Obviously, the franchise left on mm-hmm. a bit of a weird note with the emancipation of the humans under the robots, but mm-hmm. then also the seeming death of those two characters. Not too big of a spoiler from a movie from like 20 years ago, but.
Two characters are we talking about?
Neo and Trinity.
Oh, so they died?
They died at the end of that. Oh. So that's kind of weird.
Well, maybe James Cameron's bringing them back.
Wait, that's a different franchise. A couple other quick ones. Krypton, the TV show on Sci-Fi got canceled. Mm-hmm. And that took Krypton with, that took the Lobo series that they were talking about doing with it. They're not going to do either of those anymore.
Lobo, sorry. I didn't catch me up.
Lobo is a very popular 1990s DC Comics character, sort of Wolverine from space kind of mm-hmm. deal. And he had, I guess, guest starred on the second season of Krypton, and they were saying, well, if he gets a good premiere, then maybe they'll spin him into his own show. They're going to do a pilot, but apparently they've just gotten out of the Krypton business entirely. So that's gone. We got news that Kevin Smith, the famed director of Clerks, is going to be doing a Masters of the Universe Revelation anime series on Netflix. I've listened to a couple of his podcasts talking about that. Sounds very interesting. Sounds like they've got a really passionate team of creators working on that. So that could be really interesting. I'm not a huge Masters of the Universe fan, but I must admit, I'm curious to see what they do with that. Mm-hmm. And the last little bit of old but interesting news was late in August, we got news that CBS and Viacom were merging. Now, this is not always, you know, who really cares about corporate mergers, but this one is really impactful for a couple of reasons. These two companies used to be unified and then they separated in the early 2000s.
Right.
Bringing them back together is really kind of interesting because this is the rights holder of Star Trek on TV and the rights holder of Star Trek in movies. Mm-hmm. They had actually been separated. So those universes, the reason there's that whole Kelvin timeline and things are being completely different over the last three Star Trek films is related to that. Hmm. So they haven't said immediately what the impact of this is going to be, but it is actually pretty relevant for Star Trek fans because what it means is all of those properties, whether it's movie or television, are all under the same ownership now. So if they decide they want to do an event where they merge those universes, if they want to do a big crossover, if they want to do, you know, even just sharing those films on CBS All Access, they can now do that. So that's pretty cool. Mm-hmm. And that really opens up a potential next decade where we can see a really big expansion of the Star Trek franchise. So I'm excited about that one. And also there was, you know, was it $28 billion, I think they said? Hmm. $28 billion in revenue combined between CBS and Viacom. This merger actually makes them bigger than Comcast, bigger than Warner, bigger than Fox, bigger than Disney, as far as U.S. audience share. So this is the single biggest audience share in America right now is this new merged company.
Oh, okay.
So yeah, pretty cool.
All right. Let's get to the newer news.
Newer news. All right. The Joker movie. You and I haven't seen the Joker movie yet.
I have seen the Joker movie.
You saw the Joker movie without me, you bugger.
Well, you didn't. You sounded like you didn't want to go.
So. I must admit, I didn't really want to go.
Yeah.
So I will give you the news and then you will tell me what you thought of this movie.
Okay. That's fair enough. Yeah.
All right. So Joker record debut. It made $93.5 million in its first weekend, setting a new record for October rather. Yeah. Huge. Oh, sorry. 96 million US, 248 million globally is where we're at right now. Mm-hmm. This is an opening record for the month of October. And this is in spite of the fact that there was actually a bit of ramped up security and stuff around the fact that people were worried about anarchists and what they might do around a movie around somebody who's an anarchist.
Yeah. Yeah.
So this is pretty significant. And I must admit, I heard over the course of the summer, they had this movie at the Toronto International Film Festival. Yeah. I heard good things about it and the hype started to ramp up. There was talk that Joaquin Phoenix could be, you know, an Oscar contender, that they really went somewhere interesting with this character in this film. Mm-hmm. I still am having a really tough time caring. So you tell me, Tim, what was this actually like?
Well, it's interesting. A good friend of mine, I did go to TIFF this year and I did see a number of films, interesting films. I, of course, couldn't get into the Joker or whatever to save my life. But a friend of mine did see it. So we were chatting on our chat thing that we use at work this weekend. And Jason is his name, by the way, Jason Chu. Hey, Jason. Probably doesn't listen to this show anyway, so why don't I give him a shout out? But my review...
No, he has to listen.
Well, so the cinematography is amazing. Like it is, like whoever the director was and the director of cinematography, they definitely deserve a pat on the back, if not an Oscar. I mean, it was, you know, beautifully shot, like from the point of view of like overlays of trains running down. There's one scene where there's a train going up the middle of the screen and you see the city on both sides. Very sort of get that sort of Gotham feeling to it, you know, when he goes up to Arkham Asylum. It's very Gotham-y. You know, it's got that sort of, you know, New York metropolitan kind of vibe to it. And, you know, color-wise, it was very good-looking. But the story was meh. It was, you know, derivative. You know, like, you know, when Francis, I forgot the name that plays the mother, Francis, something with a C. Anyway, I can look it up. But anyway, she's pretty good in it, but she's a typical sort of Aunt May, you know, kind of character. I do have a question for you, and I don't think this will spoil this for you specifically, but because you've read the books, right? And you've
might have read a Joker comic or two in my time, yes.
Okay, one or two at least,
right? Maybe one or two.
So, is he related to Bruce Wayne? Wolverine?
Not in the comic books.
Not in the comics. So I don't want to spoil this for you because you haven't seen it yet. But yeah, there's an implied relationship.
Frances Conroy plays his mother, apparently.
Frances Conroy, yes. Yeah, I think I got her. She was from 6 Feet Under, and I got her confused with the mother from Sopranos, right?
Yeah.
Like you can see here. Like here's an example of a picture. This staircase is in the film a few times, and you see the Joker as, you know, what's his real name? I forget.
Joaquin Phoenix?
No, the character when he's not Joker.
Which character name did they go by?
What's the Joker's real name?
In the comic books, I don't know if he's ever properly been named.
Named
him in the movie, obviously, the original Batman movie.
Yeah.
And I think some have sort of picked that up and run with it. But I don't remember if they've actually given him a name in the comic.
Yeah, I hope you can see my screen. I'm sharing this right now. I'm scrolling through a bunch of images on the interwebs.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not really seeing anything other than, you know, the actual pictures of his face, which, again, so when my friend Jason asked me about his portrayal, you know, like, oh, what do you think was an amazing portrayal? And I thought, you know what? All you need to do is channel Heath Ledger and you're bound to be an Academy Award contender, right? Because
mm-hmm.
he did such a fantastic job at that, right?
Not Cesar Romero?
No, well, Cesar Romero, yeah. with the mustache, right?
Yeah, oh, yeah, the painted over mustache. Yeah,
actually, I wonder if I go back in my search.
Yeah, I mean, in the movie, he was Jack Napier. That's what they called him in 1989, the Tim Burton Batman film.
No, a different name in this one. This is supposed to be...
Oh, hang on, here we go. Apparently, it was a couple of years ago in the comics. I must admit, I'm a couple of years behind in my Batman reading. I'm only caught up to about 5 years ago, so... let's see.
Well, I can go to the IMDb as well. Hang on.
Oh, it says Jack Napier will be the name of the character in the comics. Wow.
In the comics.
Yeah, so apparently that's what they've named him in the comics as well.
Well, you guys see us go to talk about IMDb all the time. Let's just do that right now. Oh, where the hell did it go? Okay. You click on the actual link here. It works much better on the iPad. Let's see. Who does he play? He plays... Arthur Fleck is the name of the Joker in this movie.
Oh, yeah. That doesn't ring a bell.
Yeah. So, don't see any 169 images. Let's see. Sort of point to the... Just talking about the cinematography. Anyway, you know what? Would I have gone out of my way to watch this movie? If you watch the trailer, you've seen a lot of the character portrayal nuances, you know?
Mm-hmm.
In fact, I think in the trailers, they give away, like, you know, a lot of the story. They do expect the audience to empathize with Fleck in the story, right?
Yeah.
As this downtrodden, you know, abused, a misunderstood guy, right?
Yeah.
But they do, there are some, they play with his mental, issues fairly well in the movie. I'm not going to give that away either. But, was it really necessary for me to go on first night? I don't think so. I did go on the first day because I just saw some seats in the theater were vacant and I had some time to kill. So I wouldn't like it's like it, you know what it's the Solo of DC movies.
Whoa, that could be taken many ways.
Well, I mean, I still wanted to see Solo. I think Solo is still a good movie to see in the theater. It's got lots of what's her name from Fleabag is in it. You know, I didn't realize it was her.
Yeah, she was the robot, though. It's not like you got to see her. Phoebe Waller-Bridge, yeah.
Yeah, well, but you get her mannerisms and things, which is, you know, in her expressions and stuff. But yeah. I did watch it again. I watched it again to sort of see the twist in the end there and all that kind of stuff at the end of Solo, that is, right? Mm-hmm. There is no, like, when the credits roll, get out of your seat, go to your car. There's nothing at the end. No spoilers there. Me and one other guy waited and it was like nothing. Yeah. So, I mean, you know, I don't know. So has DC had any really decent movies in recent times?
I mean, the last movie that got talked about this way, I mean, they got a lot of people last year loved Aquaman. Mm-hmm. A lot of people the year before that really liked Wonder Woman.
Yeah, Wonder Woman.
Those movies had a lot of buzz,
mm-hmm.
but not in the way that they're saying, like, oh, Joaquin Phoenix could be up for an Oscar for Best Actor. Todd Phillips could be up for nomination for the filmmaking. You know, that's some of the buzz that's out there for this film. The last time that happened was Dark Knight.
Right, Dark Knight.
Reason that one also hit was everyone was talking about the performance of the Joker in there, but they also that movie took on a life of its own after he died too, right?
Yeah, it's, you know, if I have to compare it to, say, a Batman movie, for instance, and I'm not considering this 1968 classic or 69, whatever it is, but if I had to look at the one before Affleck.
Christian Bale.
If I had to look at his movies, it was nowhere near Dark Knight, right? It was a little worse than the third movie, with Bane, right?
Mm-hmm.
But he's nowhere near as sinister as Bane, and there's no sort of like, you know, I mean, there were some you know, sleight of hand stuff that happened in Dark Knight with Heath Ledger's character. Mm-hmm. They didn't really go that far with this, you know.
Yeah.
But like I said, they do sort of explore Joker's particular psychosis a bit in a really interesting way. But yeah, I mean, you know, I don't know. I think a lot of people will wait till it comes out on the Netflix and, you know, the Hulu and whatever. And they think they'd be well advised to, you know, unless, I mean, I don't get me wrong. I love going to the theater and watching movies in the theater.
Well, you raved about the cinematography. That's the one that always gets me into the theater. Again, I'll go see, there's some directors and some filmmakers that I want to see. Like Christopher Nolan is one example, right?
Yeah.
His movies look amazing when they're shown on a full size screen.
Yeah. I mean, so you can see it in IMAX. I didn't see it in IMAX. I saw it in a VIP. I think it might have been really even cooler in IMAX because you would get the full, you know, full image. I mean, there were some, you know, wide shots that were just stunning, you know, not quite graphic novel-y stunning, but like stunning in terms of urban, you know, landscape kind of shooting and stuff like that. But very well lined up. And one shot in particular, like I said, there's been a train cutting up through the city.
Yeah.
Pretty cool. Yeah. Anyway, that's enough about the Joker thing. Did we talk about the numbers? I mean, it's phenomenally huge. It's like the biggest movie since...
Biggest movie release in October. And yes, it's made
October
almost...
a dark time or something?
Quarter of a billion. Yeah. Well, typically this time of year, we see a lot of horror movies, as you'd expect, around Halloween. Right. And then we start to get a trickle of the Oscar, pre-Oscar fair, right? We're starting to see stuff pre-award season. So this one actually is sort of a sneaker because it's kind of comic booky, but it's not. It's kind of horror-y, but it's not. And it's kind of Oscar bait.
Yeah, I'm not going to go into the horror because there is some definite horror. But I can tell you this much. I can see why it was at TIFF.
Yeah.
From that point of view, yes. If you're a movie, what do you call a movie file? What do we call movie file people?
Cinephile. Finiste?
Yeah. If your thing is, well, movies and large screens and you know, with the popcorn and the whole bit, it's an interesting movie. Not a date movie.
No.
Unless your partner's really into the whole DC universe kind of thing. Yeah. Which that does happen. Yeah.
There's a weird spot for movies like that. It's somewhere between there was that whole kerfuffle this week, right? Francis Ford Coppola was talking about how, you know, Marvel movies aren't cinema, they're only movies. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. This one seems like it's sort of straddling that line between cinema and movie, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah. I remember what the other movies I saw. Oh,
so we'll move on to our trailerama here.
Yeah, you just hit share.
Hold on to your socks, kids. I'm going to take over the sharing here. I'm going to show you the trailer while Tim and I talk about it for Lost in Space Season 2.
How do I minimize my screen?
Maybe.
My screen, I can't see.
Hold on to your socks.
There we go. Cool.
Yep. All right, here we are. Lost in Space Season 2. So last week around the New York Comic Con, we got a bunch of trailers that started to come out. We'll be talking about a bunch of those in a little bit. Obviously, a bunch of Star Trek news that we're excited about. But the other thing that came out of this was we got our first look at Season 2 for Lost in Space, the Netflix series.
This is where the other series ended, right?
The other series ended with the people jumping away and them getting left behind.
Oh.
So once again, to circle back after that technical hiccup, this is our first look at Season 2 of Lost in Space. They also announced the release date, which is coming on conveniently on December 24th. Mm-hmm. Sorry, Christmas is canceled. I'm going to be watching Lost in Space.
Well, isn't that when Doctor Who Christmas special's on?
Or are they doing a Christmas special this year? They did a special last year.
That's Christmas Day, though, right? Yeah, that's right. We didn't do one last year.
No, last year they did the New Year special.
Oh, wow.
Still felt wrong. So, obviously, this is a little more focused on just the
Wait,
the survivors.
Is Captain Lorca the leader of this group again? I forget.
No, I don't think so.
I think Captain Lorca's the dad, isn't he? Jason, what's his name?
Jason Isaacs?
Yeah. I'm gonna find him. I still don't like the robot in this one. Good. I mean, I like him, but I don't like him. He's not, you know, goofy like the old robot used to be.
Lost in Space 2. Lost in Space 2. The sequel.
Lost in Space 2.
All episodes December 24th, only on Netflix.
Yeah. So what do you think about the whole binging thing? Like, does that not eat into your time?
It makes it challenging on a lot of shows because you end up with a lot of these ones where you will, you'll end up in these circumstances where you're trying to play beat the clock with the internet. Because I do go to a lot of blogs and stuff. I am, my job is in social media. So I tend to be in the blogosphere and the social media sphere a lot. So it's really hard to avoid spoilers. Mm-hmm. And so I do find myself wanting more often than not to try and get through things quickly. And that doesn't always fit with, you know, being a busy person, their parents and all those other things. Mm-hmm. I think the one of the points that was raised on one of the other pods that I like to listen to, they were talking about how when you look at some shows that drop week to week, think about Game of Thrones, think about, you know, some of the sort of zeitgeist shows from the last few years.
Yeah.
Oh, those shows are good because they actually give you a week for places like us to be able to talk about them. Discovery is another example, mm-hmm. where we can actually have a week to digest and process and think and sort of, you know, take it all in. Whereas if you had them all at once, again, imagine right now if Discovery came out in one big lump sum. You and I and Jaime would be frustrated, right?
Yeah, we'd have a really long episode of Spotcast.
Well, yeah, it'd be like, okay, we're going to do our annual Spotcast episode, kids. Stay tuned. You know, and it's the same thing for Game of Thrones and some of these other sort of more contemporary shows that come week to week.
Yeah.
I think I like the time to digest a little bit. You know, Stranger Things dropped over the summer in July, and I did finish it until into August because I just had other priorities and responsibilities and other things going on.
Right.
And I lived in fear that it was going to be spoiled for me, and that's not a fun thing to do. There's talk that Netflix is considering doing that for some shows going forward. Not all shows, but some shows going forward that they'll drop week by week.
I started watching Explained. Have you watched the Explained? You know,
yes.
Dean Explained or whatever. And one they drop like a show each week, right?
Well, and the ones they do in partnership here in Canada, they have a partnership with CW, which is shows a lot of the DC-based shows. Mm-hmm. So they've taken over airing The Flash. They've taken over airing, they were airing iZombie, things like that. Riverdale's on here. All of those are week to week.
Right.
Now, the infuriating part of that is that they're not same day and time as they are in the United States. We have to wait several days. That's actually ridiculous.
Yeah.
We talked about that last year when they had a crossover series between the DC television shows, the Arrowverse shows. And for us here in Canada, they aired out of order because The Flash, which was supposed to be the second part, didn't come out till 2 days later here. So we had to watch one, then three, then two of the episodes, which is, again, in a world where the internet is on top of stuff as soon as it's on, that's a ridiculous notion. But mm-hmm. I like having the time to sort of go after it. That being said, of a modern TV thing, the thing that actually I find more challenging is the long seasons. I love The Flash TV show. I love Supergirl. Mm-hmm. I love watching the things I love watching that are still on contemporary television, but I do not need 22 episodes of it at all. If they told a very focused 12 episodes or 14 episodes, I would be ecstatic. You know, like, I don't understand why they haven't roped into the logic of doing those things sequentially, where you basically do 14 of this and 14 of that and 14 of this and 14 of that, or 12 of this and 12 of that. You could do so much more interesting stuff. Now, I understand, obviously, there's production costs and everything involved in that, wrapping things up, wrapping things around and stuff like that. But I just find that much more compelling. You know, we're getting closer and closer to that British model of six episodes, right? You know, an entire series is six episodes. Or what's Luther right now? Is what, like three episodes in an hour and a half?
It's funny. Like, I was just watching Fleabag, like I said, right? And yeah, I think I watched Fleabag in 2 days because they're short 20-minute or 30-minute episodes.
Yep.
And just
yep.
one after the other, bang, 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 right?
So, yeah, absolutely. And it's amazing. So you just want to keep reading, watching it.
But, watching, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, but it's, you know, there's so many shows like that where, again, on one hand, you're like, oh, it's over. But then you have the satisfaction of, well, I've completed the journey and I didn't have to invest months or years of my life.
Yeah. Well, I just listened to an interview with her, actually, after it was over. Again, my PVR, thank you, Rogers, for creating the worst PVR in the world. So for the whole summer, it recorded all kinds of episodes of Saturday Night Live. And then this Saturday, the one episode I wanted to watch when I wasn't at home, you know, I went and watched The Joker because I knew that Saturday Night Live would be recording. I got home at, you know, 1 o'clock in the morning and went, oh, let's just see what the monologue was. And it was like, no recording.
Yeah.
So I had to go and hunt, you know, and trying to find Saturday Night Live on YouTube, at, you know, a day or two later is horrible. So, but anyway, but I saw an older interview with her talking to Fallon, let's say, or either Jimmy Fallon or Colbert, saying that, you know, she was talking about coming back to do Fleabag. So mm-hmm. apparently Fleabag started out as a play and then she did it as a story, like as a series, six episodes, like their traditional British format. Right. And then, I don't understand the six episodes as opposed to 13, like we do here, right. In North America, you know, where we drive on the correct side of the road.
But why stretch it out, right? Like, that's the theory, right? If you tell a story, story. Tell the story and what it takes to tell the story.
Right, right. Anyway, so but then I think what, but I don't know if did it come, did Fleabag come out and then you had to wait for season two or?
Yes, it did.
Okay, because I just went and watched season one and two. And
no, I watched season one before I watched season two.
But I mean, like, was there like a pause before season two came out?
Yeah, like a year.
Oh, okay. All right. Like a year. Okay. Well, apparently it's not, she's not doing a three or.
Yeah, no, she said if she revisits it, she plans to do it in her 50s. So, but that's absolutely again, fabulous. That's good. It's good in its own way. Again, clearly she's obviously a very, very talented person. And I admire people who aren't just married to that one piece of art, you know, who live off mm-hmm. that one thing over and over again.
Mm-hmm. So. Yeah. Interesting. Well, let's move on. I mean, like, you know, yeah, we could talk about this particular subject over and over. We probably will. But
probably will.
What's next?
Next up, another trailer. Should we try this one more time?
Oh, should we do a trailer? Okay, yeah.
All right, let's try this one more time.
Ooh, I can see your screen.
Well, then that means it's working.
Yeah. The little thingy, the loading thing is spinning.
Hold on to your socks.
Full screen, folks. There we go.
This episode of Spotcast brought to you by...
this advertisement here, which we're not getting any money for.
We can neither enforce the values of RAM nor deny them.
All right. Did they blow up real good?
Here we are. Rick and Morty season four. Ooh. Our first full trailer, obviously.
How long has it been since last?
It's been a couple of years. I think almost three.
Wow.
Yeah, it's been a long break. Obviously, in that time, they negotiated a new contract, so they're going to do multiple seasons, which is really awesome.
Nice. Yeah, yeah. Just like Futurama, right?
Yeah. So they come back strong, but they've announced, yeah, we're finally going to get our first look at Rick and Morty new episodes in a long time. Hmm. Some familiar faces in there. I saw Mr. Meeseeks from season one.
Right, yeah.
Lab coat, rip off Doctor Strange.
Yeah, yeah.
Mr. Poopy Butthole, yeah. Also back from season one.
Yeah. That's not how apps work yet. So have you seen the theory of going back and watching to see which Morty is actually in the show?
I've heard that, yeah. That there's a whole line of logic that says that it's not really the Morty we started with.
Yeah. Well, and or even Doc Brown, not Doc Brown, Rick, right?
Rick, yeah.
Yeah, so, yeah, I got to go back and watch it again. Like, thank you for, somebody bought me, Jonathan bought me the box set there, I guess, the digital box.
But yeah, that was your Father's Day gift.
Yeah, so I had, you know, it's funny, I had seen, like, I think there were like four or five episodes I hadn't seen at all, but it was nice to watch them all in order as well. Too, right?
Yeah.
Because I was just getting randomly off of something at like midnight, at, you know, whatever, before I realized that I actually have adult stream and I can watch it anytime I want.
Yeah.
Oh, well.
Well, now you have them forever, as long as Apple lets you have them.
Yes, that's true. Yep. Yep.
So that's good news. Two good mm-hmm. shows coming up. Excited mm-hmm. for those. A little bit extra news. So we got news today that Hellstrom, another Hulu Marvel show, is finally found its stars. That's kind of neat. This is a story that's based on the original comic from the 70s called Son of Satan. And so they've announced today, let's see, this is from Deadline. Fresh off a role as besieged President Elizabeth Keane on Homeland and an unforgiving stint on Netflix's Unbelievable, Elizabeth Marvel joins the show. That's cool. And she's going to be playing Hellstrom's brother. Let's see. Oh, okay. That's the person who's going to be running the show. There we go. Mm-hmm. Set to debut next year on Disney-controlled streamer, Hellstrom will be led by Tom Austin and Sidney Lemon mm-hmm. as the stars. So, yeah, finally starting to see this one take shape. Again, it'd be interesting to see how this proceeds. So this is, I'm just looking at their bios. So Tom Austin was on a show called The Royals and another show called Grantchester. Sidney Lemon's from Fear the Walking Dead and Succession. It's going to be interesting to see how... Elizabeth Marvel plays Victoria Hellstrom. Mm. Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see how they pull this one together because it is pretty dark. Even as a comic series in the 70s, it was kind of dark. And moving that forward, it's going to be really dark to see how that one goes forward because it's about the son of Satan and this is a Disney show.
Right.
So I'm not sure how they pull that together and make that something that's, you know, cohesive and not, you know, blood and guts and you know, Satan worshiping and all the things that Disney doesn't like.
Right.
Little extra bit from the Walking Dead universe. So as part of the New York Comic Con, onto the stage came Lauren Cohen, who famously was Maggie Rhee on the show.
Didn't her show get canceled though?
The one show that she was on for one season has been canceled. And so apparently she's going to come back and they're going to sort of tie up what happened with her character, where she went, what happened to her in the next season. And they also announced at that same event that it has been renewed for season 11 already. Season 10 just premiered a couple days ago. Mm-hmm. So hold on to your socks. Fox Kid. There's more Walking Dead coming. They also showed the first trailer for the new Walking Dead show, which I have not seen yet, so I'm not going to go too far down that rabbit hole. But so we're headed towards a world where we're going to have three Walking Dead shows and apparently some Walking Dead movies in development too, starring Andrew Lincoln.
So I have news. I have news on that front, and this is it's a Spotcast news, I guess. You know, like who else would care? But yeah, I am not watching season 10, and I stopped watching Fear of the Walking Dead.
Oh, okay.
And I've taken them off the rotation on my PVR. I've lost interest.
Yeah, I did not watch all. Did not watch any of season 9 of Walking Dead, and I have only watched the first season of Fear the Walking Dead.
Well, Fear the Walking Dead was getting good, but now it's just It's, you know what? After a while, like we had George Stromalopoulos on one of our podcasts once, and I asked him if he watched the show, and he said no. He said, because I know how it ends.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
And he's right, you know, in retrospect, because it never ends. It's just an ongoing, you know, oh, we have to go get some resources. Oh, and these a-holes are trying to kill us and take all our stuff. And, you know, how many times can they you know, flog that horse? Oh, wait, these guys are way worse because they wear death masks. And, you know, Oh, and these like little kids are surviving on their own. Like, give me a break, you know?
Yeah. Well, again, that's the problem with all of these sort of post-apocalyptic things is that the notion plays itself out. And I will say, you know, there have been, you know, some interesting ups and downs, but it does become a little unrelenting. And especially in a show, you know, that has been criticized for being, you know, murder porn, you know, it does really kind of keep going. You know, you're like, oh, I'm attached to this character. Oh, they introduced some new characters. Oh, I like that character. Oh, they killed that character. Oh, this new character. Oh, you know, especially when you start losing longtime characters like Rick and Maggie and you know, they did kill off some, you know, major characters over the years too. So you kind of have to really be invested with the handful of people that have been around the whole time.
But, right.
Yeah, I'm not too far on board. I keep telling myself that eventually I'll catch up and, you know, when they finally wrap it up. But it's comic books are like this for me too. You know, there have been some comics that have been around for ages and ages and ages, and I just couldn't keep buying them month to month. So now I buy them in a collected edition because it just seems to go on forever. You know, it's only a select number of titles that will sort of have a little story arc, or they'll have a, you know, beginning and a middle and an end. Mm-hmm. So many of these just keep going and going.
Well, and then there's so much of it. Like, you're like, it's like people complain about podcasts. Like, how many different podcasts can you listen to? And they, you know, they'll drop and listen to us for a while, and then they'll go off and do something else, and maybe they'll come back later. But yeah. or they'll binge it like from the very beginning, which is surprising. But you know, like, there's so many books to read, there's so many movies to go see. You know, movies is the one format. Like, I mean, theater movies is the one format where you go to the theater and you watch it, right?
Well, and we talked about that before. You know, my longtime stance is that it's the last place where you don't just sit there with your phone out while you're doing it.
Yeah. Good point.
You know, if you're sitting at home and you're listening to music, you can have your phone out. If you're sitting there watching TV, you might also have your phone out, or your tablet or your computer or whatever. The movie is sort of that last place where, you know, it's not okay to have your phone out and you're really immersed in the moment. That's why I like going to see movies in movie theaters.
Yeah.
But no, I mean, you're absolutely right. And even, you know, my son says that all the time. You know, I can't decide what I want to do most. I want to play this video game, but I also want to read this comic book, but I also want to watch this movie, but I also want to catch this television show.
Yeah. So for me, I'm producing podcasts and I'm writing code and I'm trying to learn new stuff. And I just don't like watching television almost becomes an invasion, especially if I have to pay attention, because a lot of times I'll have TV shows in the background. And, you know, like, I'm watching a new Colby Smothers. I thought that was a character name.
Stumptown.
Yeah, I'm watching that. And it's really interesting. But again, it's a cop show. Like, you know, how much attention do you really need to pay attention to it? I mean, there's a few things in the corner you might miss if you look away, but you can almost just hit rewind and, you know, watch it again. But so I do. But like, most of the time I'm working, I'm coding, I'm doing research, whatever. And I just don't have time to read or play. I don't play games. I mean, we talked about the Apple Arcade on Spot or on the other show, More Than Just Code, because none of the other guys were running iOS 13 or you know, they didn't run the beta program, so they couldn't get into playing the arcade. So I signed up for the trial of Arcade, and it was supposed to renew next week. I just canceled because I just don't play enough games to warrant paying measly $4.99, but still, or $5.99 Canadian, but still.
Yeah.
I don't play enough games to warrant the expense, you know, so.
Yeah, no, it's fair. It's fair.
There's only so many hours in the day. And, you know, like, I want to get into doing painting and whatever, and printing t-shirts and stuff, but, you know, doesn't buy it. Can we skip the next two stories and just end the old news, or is there anything really interesting in the old news that we need?
The old news, I think we can skip entirely.
Okay, because I want to jump down to the main stuff. The main enchiladas. Because at the end of the day, like, I don't know if you heard, but or if you listened to the episode, but I was on a podcast the other day where I did a talk on neuroplasticity and how it applies to learning and how, you know, people in my industry developers can use it to their advantage. But anybody can. I mean, like, kids can use it in school. You could use it in your work, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
I'll link to that podcast. It was from OK Production, but they asked me in the podcast, because I mentioned Spotcast, right? And they asked mm-hmm. me, so am I a Star Trek fan or a Star Wars fan?
Mm-hmm.
Like, which way do I lean? And I'm like, you know, to be honest with you, like, yeah, I've seen a lot of Star Trek, but, you know, I missed a whole whack of seasons out of, like, the whole last bunch of seasons out of Voyager, right? Mm-hmm. I watched the last couple of episodes to see how they got home and stuff like that, but I just, like, a month ago, I watched the Borg episode with where, or just a couple of weeks ago, I watched the Borg episode where Seven of Nine goes back and finds this sort of faction of Borg people who have this imaginary world, matrix world they can go into and, mm-hmm. and relate, even though they were all connecting over the network kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
I'd never seen that episode before, right? And or the one where Seven of Nine gets in trouble because she's doing the time traveling thing, and the guy who's causing the problem is the guy who's running the program and that one.
Yeah.
But I never saw those anyway. And same thing with the Next Generation. I stopped watching Next Generation after a whole while, so I can't say categorically whether I've watched every single episode of the Next Generation either, right?
Mm-hmm.
Deep Space Nine is a gap there for me as well, but I have seen every single Star Wars thing, you know. And I, of course, I watched Star Trek when it first was on TV, and then I watched it in reruns forever. I think I was with me and five other guys were watching it throughout the late 70s there, early 70s, I think. Because it was like on set, it was on every day. It was like the Flintstones, and you just kind of, you know, you ate cereal while you watched Star Trek kind of thing, right? And my sisters like would tune it out and not even watch it. But, you know, but Star Wars, I don't know, I seem to be drawn to Star Wars for some strange reason. So
it's much more digestible too. Again, for the longest time, it really was just about the central films.
Yeah.
You know, there have been some TV show stuff in there, but, you know, again, depends how sort of, you know, expansive your idea of Star Wars is too. There are the TV
shows. I haven't watched Clone Wars. I haven't watched Rebel, you know.
Rebels and Resistance and all those are in canon now. Like, those are all part of legit, you know, as far as the company's concerned, those are real events that happened. So, you know, you can decide whether or not those are important to watch overall. But yeah, no, you're right. I mean, the thing about Trek is there's, you know, and I think Xavier's felt that too. You know, he was like, oh, maybe I'll start at the beginning. And I was like, it's going to take you years to go through and watch every episode of the original series and TNG and Deep Space Nine and Voyager and Enterprise.
Yeah.
You know, by the time you work through, and you've got 13 movies to watch, and you've got this, and watch the animated series. Like, there's a lot of places to go. Now, you know, confession, I have all those. They're on my shelf.
I know.
And I've watched, I would say, every episode of every single series at least once, with the possible exception of, I don't think I've watched every episode of the animated series. I'm pacing myself because you cannot watch too much of that at once. It's a special kind of bad.
Well, so here, the thing about the animated, and this is where I'll defend the animated series, and that is this, right? Remember that Star Trek was only on for 2.5 seasons, right?
Yeah.
And then it went into, and then, like, it wasn't on. I think it was in reruns a little bit. Syndication hadn't really kicked off yet.
Mm-hmm.
But Saturday morning, you'd get up in the morning, you'd wake up, you'd get your cereal, you'd sit in your pajamas, and you'd watch cartoons on TV. Space Ghost and all that kind of stuff. Like, this is back in my day. Like, I'm talking like late 60s, early 70s, right?
Yep.
And this Star Trek animated series came on, and it was like, oh my God, it's Star Trek.
Yeah.
Right? So when you, in context, right, it was like the best of the Saturday morning cartoon. Johnny Quest was on, you know.
Yeah.
All the sort of, you know, there was a George of the Jungle, you know, all those sort of, you know, Space Ghost is my favorite, right? And now I watch Space Ghost now, and that one guy, I forget his name, but the one guy who does Space Ghost voice, he was in every single Saturday morning cartoon, right?
Yeah, he did all the Hanna-Barbera's,
Yeah, that guy. I'll dig his name up. But I mean, that was so that was, from an accessibility point of view, that's all we had, you know?
Yep.
So it was great from that perspective, right? So, but yeah, you're right. It is.
But it doesn't hold up terribly well. It's a little clunky in its animation, and the plotting is not exactly modern pacing. It's a little clunky.
No, it's very, very 60s. Yeah,
exactly.
They had that one pterodactyl sound for pterodactyls in
and every single show they ever did. Same one for Johnny Quest. Same one for Thunder of the Barbarian.
There was a Huckleberry Finn one where it was Johnny Whitaker, and he was live action, but the rest of it was all cartoon and stuff, you know?
Oh yeah.
Yeah. They had like a sort of, he was on a green, it was like the
early green screen.
Yeah. Yeah. Not like not anywhere near like Who Framed Roger Rabbit.
Yeah.
Anyway,
yeah.
So the reason why we're paraphrasing and we're beating around the bush here, what we're talking about is the reason why we're here, and that is Star Trek, right?
Star Trek.
And we do, as those of you who stuck with the show so far know, that we do talk about everything else as well as Star Trek, but Star Trek is the focus of the show, thus the name podcast. But so here we are. We've got the premiere of the Bard trailer.
We had a teaser trailer before that was, you know, it did give us a little taste of what we could see. We saw that there was Seven of Nine little cameo. We saw that there was a cameo from what appears to be Data.
Yeah.
And, you know, a little taste of post Star Trek nemesis Picard.
Yeah.
And now we finally get a look at the actual, a little more substance, a little more depth. So right. I don't know how deep you went down the rabbit hole on this thing, but I noticed all kinds of stuff in here.
Well, I did. I'm going to see if I can run it while we talk here. Ooh, it's really loud. Can you hear that? So we knew that Data was going to be in the show, right?
Yeah, we knew that Data was going to be there, and we'd seen that Seven was going to be there.
So, but this clip right here makes me think this is a dream sequence.
Totally dream sequence. There's no way.
Yeah. That is not true, sir. Because he hands him the brush and says, you can finish this story, right?
And especially because they're both wearing their TNT uniforms.
Right. Oh, and then we cut to him in the Logan movie.
Do you think that later on there's a discussion about the fact that he named his dog after Will Riker?
Please, oh yeah? Someone's
after me. It says the dog's name is Number One.
Well, yeah, but that's sort of what you do, I guess, right? Is that full screen for you, by the way? It's nice to see you up and around again. What do you see on your screen, John?
Sorry, it's a little loud. I can't hear the... I can't hear that. I am standing up for the Federation,
for what it should still represent. This is no longer... Funny, I've turned it way down. Go home. Yeah. I have to help. Oh, wait, this way. How's that? Is that better?
Yeah, it's better.
Okay, yeah. Got the badge.
He slaps on his badge. Now, notably, that's the badge that would have been the last one he wore in those last couple movies.
Right.
We get our look at Michelle Hurd. She's playing Raffi Musiker. I looked that up. Mm-hmm. And Allison Pill playing Dr. Agnes Girardi.
Right.
And Evan Evagora playing Elnor, the guy with the sword.
Mm-hmm. Is he a Vulcan?
They're not sure if he's a Vulcan or a Romulan. And then behind the seat of that ship there, we see Chris Rio is played by Santiago Cabrera.
Mm-hmm. Right. The Borg ship. Ooh, Borg. He looks like an elf.
That little glimpse for a second there, we see Hugh.
Oh, yeah? Oh, right. Okay. And this is the reveal of the trailer here, right?
Coming up? Yeah, this is the... Well, it's fan service, right?
Yeah.
Riker and Deanna. And we also get a little... we have a kid, clearly. Mm-hmm. Old-fashioned warbird we saw for a second there.
Doesn't the kid grow up to be Kylo Ren eventually?
I want them to cut to the kid and to have ridges on its forehead. Mr. Worf?
Mr. Worf? I don't know what recorded there, folks. So, is Mr. Worf in there?
No, but you'll recall late in the seasons of TNG, there was a little thing there between Worf and Troy, right?
Right, okay.
They were an item. I think it would just be hilarious if they were like, why is our child halfling on?
Oh, right. Yeah.
So, two scenes that really caught my eye. Obviously, the fan service is there. We saw Data.
Yeah.
There's a one little clip in there where we see a room full of what look like androids.
Yeah.
With numbers on their heads. I don't know if you want to call it up and we can slow-mo through there, or if we can just sort of talk our way through it.
Yeah, let me bring it over here.
So
I don't know what people were able to see. Like, I don't know what this... I have no idea what was recording. So yeah, we'll do that again.
Yeah. The first trailer we saw for the Picard show, we saw at one point Dr. Girardi, that's Allison Pill's character, opens up a drawer and we see a disassembled Soong...
am I sharing? I'm not sharing.
Yeah, we see a disassembled rope or android. We see it could be Data, it could be Lore, it could be
that other guy.
Yeah, what was the third one they called? I can't even remember his name now.
B4.
Oh, that's right, B4. That's right. It'll be interesting to see what comes of that, because it almost seems like there's a little Borg android army kind of thing going on there. Mm-hmm. I'm curious to see what that is.
Right.
Has Dr. Girardi been working on taking the next level of android? Are we going to see the next level of that scene right there?
Oh, there you
go. Are we going to see the next generation of sort of the Data style androids? Are we going a little iRobot here? Yeah, like they look a little like Nouveau Datas, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So that
the person walking with him looks like a robot or android too, right?
Yeah. So that scene really caught my eye. There's a scene where just again for like a flash of about 2 seconds, you see Hugh. So from the classic TNG episode,
Power and the other guy from Blade Runner.
I know. yeah, we saw a little glimpse of Hugh, and that sort of caught my eye.
This guy who's in every show ever.
Yeah, yeah. And there's one little scene that caught my eye too, where you can see, I watched this trailer probably more times than is healthy, but there's a scene where Seven, right there, Seven is cradling someone who's clearly not doing well.
Yeah.
And it's un- unclear who she's holding. She looks like she does in the rest of the show, so it looks like it's modern. So you'd think that if that was Chakotay, who she ends up with at the end of Voyager, that he would have gray hair by then, although maybe he dyes his hair. Maybe he ages really well.
But could it be this guy here? I don't know.
It could be, or it could be...
the Vulcan?
Well, so one of the speculations that I had read online and I thought was an interesting notion was, could that be Icheb, the other Borg that was on Voyager with them?
Right.
There's Hugh. Passed Hugh as he's creeping around the corner. That's Hugh, the former Borg set free in TNG.
Right.
So there's all kinds of little tasty Easter eggs in here. Again, I mean, not that we weren't both in the bag for this series already, but trying to sort of piece together where they're going with this story and how they sort of circle it back. Obviously, we see an old-fashioned warbird. So Romulans are involved. So we've got Borg, we got Romulans, and we've got androids. Interesting ingredients for a good show.
Yeah.
What'd you make of all this?
I didn't spend nearly as much time as you did, obviously, watching this thing. But I think I caught all the sort of nuance. I wouldn't have recognized you anyway. But I don't know. I'm looking forward to it. It's only a few months away, right?
Yeah, it's nice. We finally got a date, January 23rd. So it looks like it's going to be on every Thursday, like we had Discovery last January.
Right.
So that's kind of cool. We go back to our Thursday night watch a Trek episode, talk about a Trek episode. So that's fun.
Have you not noticed that lately, you spend so much time waiting for that next thing to premiere these days? Like, your whole life is like waiting for the next series to start, whatever it is.
Although, there's enough stuff that you don't really notice the gaps as badly. Like, I certainly, this year felt kind of weird because Trek wrapped up in February, March, something like that. And then we didn't have any more Trek until this week.
Right.
But there's always seems like there's something where you just, you know, you're sort of in the downtime in between. This weekend, we got the drop of season 3 of Big Mouth, which is a series I really enjoy on Netflix. And I was
I haven't started watching that one yet. Yeah.
That was, it's here already. I'm like, oh, that's good. So I sat and watched that all weekend. I was like, oh, that's done. Okay, well, what's next? I looked at my thing. It's like, oh, back Batwoman and Supergirl on this week. Cool. And then a couple weeks from now, the new Watchmen series starts. And so there's always something sort of rolling around.
Right.
You know, again, right now we're in a huge hiatus on Doctor Who, right? Like, Doctor Who hasn't been on for a while. Last new episode was January 1st.
Yeah. I don't know if we've ever talked about the puppet doctor.
You were mentioning that.
She was just at a Doctor Who convention in somewhere, I forget where it is, but and she brought her 13th Doctor.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, so she had a booth with all her doctors there, so she's been doing a new Doctor series.
Nice.
I'm gonna go back to sharing the next story here.
Yeah, so the next one's another good one where we got another look, our first look at season 3 of Discovery. And this one, again, lots of interesting stuff in here.
Yeah.
For a really short trailer. Again, this one's more of a teaser, right? The Picard one's a little longer. This one's pretty short.
You believe in ghosts?
What does that mean?
A badge on your shirt.
Look at Idris Elba.
I watched this obscenely that my hope was not in vain.
What's wrong with this flag?
Not enough stars?
Not enough stars. Come to my neck.
So she ends up in the future, but where's Discovery in the Discovery end of the series?
I think they're there too. I think they just got separated.
Oh, okay, right.
As they say, she carried us into the future.
To make that future bright. New guns, interesting. There was some speculation about the uniform that George is wearing there too.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's on CTV or CTV Space Channel.
That's right, CTV Space Channel. So again, interesting stuff in here. So now we know exactly where they ended up.
Yeah.
We know that they're 930 years in the future, which puts them in the 32nd century. We saw Book, the character from the Short Trek. So that whole Short Trek episode last year where he is alone on an abandoned Discovery.
Okay, right.
That clearly is tied into this timeline. So that's interesting. So now we can go back and look at that for a little bit more for clues. Okay. Yeah.
We still haven't got the tie-in with Harry Mudd yet anywhere, though.
No, haven't seen him yet. I wonder if we will because it doesn't make a lot of sense to have that, because we know that he ends up in the past, because we know that he intersects with
Kirk and Spock
in the original series. So who knows?
Yeah.
I noticed in there that we saw Trills. Mm-hmm. We saw a group of Trills standing around there, and that scene where she's lying on her back in the water, in the creamy water there. Right. That looks like a scene from DS9, and that's to do with the Trills too. Mm-hmm. So here's my question. Are we going to see Dax? Is Dax still alive? Not necessarily the same actor, because they don't have to do that, because Dax is actually the symbiote, right? Mm-hmm. And lives on in different people over the course of time. So I wonder if we're going to see another tie-in to sort of our era of Trek from the, you know, late 90s, early 2000s, and see Dax as a character in this show 1,000 years in the future.
Oh, right. Yeah, because she'll just continue, or he will continue. It.
Yeah. Dax, the entity that is the blob that lives in people's bellies, could still be alive. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So that popped into my head when I saw Trills. I wonder if they're gonna loop that back in, or if they're gonna ignore that.
People with the spots.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. And the flag, I pointed out the flag, right? So the Federation flag has a huge number of stars on it in the era that they come from, because it's supposed to be one star for all the represented members. Mm-hmm. And the flag that they unfurl in that one scene has exactly six stars on it, which I guess speaks to the dire straits that the Federation finds itself in 900 years into the future. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So again, not a lot to chew on there, but still some interesting little tastes for, you know, again, we talked about this when we got to the end of season two of Discovery, that we really are into the undiscovered country now, because the last piece of future Trek we ended on was Star Trek Nemesis. I guess you could say that we also have the first J.J. Abrams movie, wherein we find out that Romulus was destroyed, and Spock from that timeline goes into the past and then changes things, and then they split off into their own timeline. But either way, Picard is taking us 20 years into the future, and now we're getting 900 years into the future past Discovery, so another 800 years plus from when we left off in Nemesis. This is exciting. This is really cool. I'm excited to see how they decide to sort of play this forward, where this universe went, who, you know, how all these different races played out, you know, where things ended up. It's been, you know, 20 years almost since we really sunk our teeth into 15 anyways, since we really got to sink our teeth into that part of the future and not just keep going backwards. We went backwards with Enterprise. We went backwards with Discovery. It'll be interesting to finally move forwards and see where this goes.
Yeah, for sure.
And speaking of going backwards, mm-hmm. we got our short treks back this week, mm-hmm. all of a sudden, which was really weird. They didn't announce that they were going to air them, did they?
No, I don't think so.
I just, I saw the news and they're like, oh, by the way, there's a new short trek. It's already up online. I was like, what? Mm-hmm. What happened?
Yeah.
So we got episode one was called Q&A, and we read the synopses for what was coming on a few of these. This episode focused on Spock, a young Ensign Spock, his first day aboard the USS Enterprise, and his getting trapped in the turbo lift with Number One. Mm-hmm. As with all of these, a nice tight little, you know, 14 minutes, I think it is. Rebecca Romijn back as Number One.
Right.
And what did you think about this one? I thought it was pretty entertaining.
Yeah, it was pretty good, I thought. Yeah, sure. And interesting in that, I don't know, they kind of played off the fact that Number One and Spock have a sort of secret relationship, in terms of a secret that they share. Mm-hmm. You know, she's testing him as a new ensign, I think he is, right? In the show?
Yep.
Or in this episode? And they kind of, like, it's giving away too much to say they get stuck in an elevator or turbo lift and they spend some time together.
That's and play 10,000 questions.
Yeah. That's the whole Q&A thing comes in, for sure. Mm-hmm. And so you've got it here in the show notes too, that Tribbles, is that coming out that next week's episode? Or?
Yeah, so up on the social media channels for Star Trek today, they posted a little 30-second trailer for the second episode.
Right.
And guest star H. John Benjamin, who a lot of our fans will know as the voice of Archer and the voice of Bob from Bob's Burgers, and also a hell of a funny stand-up comedian, is going to be the star of that one. And also Rose Salazar is going to be in that. Rose Salazar most recently was Alita, Battle Angel.
Right.
And she was also in the Maze Runner series of movies.
Cool.
An interesting look there. They're sort of playing it as a mix between, a typical Tribble episode where it's a little bit playful, and also it's sort of playing out a little bit like a horror movie, like they're trapped on the space station where the Tribbles keep multiplying and may turn feral, which is, again, it looks really, really funny. And I'm excited to see how they circle back to Tribbles. We haven't heard of Tribbles really since, Enterprise, I think, was the last time we saw them, right?
Right. Yeah. Cool. Yeah, looking forward to that. I have to go and find fine. What night's that going to be on? Do you know? Or
Thursday. It's on Thursday nights. Yeah. Thursday.
Okay, but at a weird time because it's a 15-minute slot, right?
Yeah, yeah. I think they've been like chucking them in the middle of movies and stuff. It's a weird thing when it's on TV, but then they're popping them up the next morning on Crave here in Canada.
Right.
And yeah, I think it's on CBS All Access as well, obviously, yeah, in the United States.
I think that's how I watched it. Crave, that is.
And I haven't looked it up. I know last year there was a real kerfuffle because the short treks weren't airing. So all the other territories outside of Canada and America, it airs on Netflix. Mm-hmm. But I know that there was a kerfuffle because they didn't put them out episode by episode on Netflix. They were putting them out all at once.
Right.
So I don't know. I haven't had a chance to look up to see if they're doing that this year. But hopefully they fix that for our international fans, because I know that's nobody likes to be left behind. We don't like being left behind here in Canada. I'm sure you don't like being left behind elsewhere. Everyone else.
Everyone else. Yes. All right. Well, are we going to bang off these last couple of things before we get to our watch list? Or
what? Yeah. Let's just maybe do a couple sentences on each of these. And we have a few things that we haven't caught up on. I don't know if we want to go as far back as we had held off on talking about Spider-Man Far From Home because Jaime hadn't seen it last time we reconnected.
Right,
So we could sum that up with good, enjoyable. It's already available on Blu-ray. Enjoy it. Mm-hmm. Well worth a nice little epilogue to the Avengers Endgame. Certainly a little more uplifting after the, you know, bit of a bummer at the end of Endgame.
I'm trying to remember. Did you and I go see that in the theater? I can't remember.
Yeah. You and I and Save One saw that.
Save, yeah, okay. Yeah. And Stranger Things Season 3. What did you think of that?
I certainly enjoyed it, I think, more than Season 2.
Okay.
It seemed shorter. Well, they went back to 8 episodes. So it was 8 episodes for first season, 9 for Season 2, and then 8 for Season 3. So they went back by an episode. I enjoyed the sort of teen angsty kind of stuff. That was funny. There was lots of humor played through that. The boys versus the girls and you know, obviously they're becoming teenagers and there's romance and stuff like that. That was funny. It was certainly a little more lighthearted, I felt. Season 2 is a real slog. You know, that poor kid who, you know, he's abducted and in the upside down for the whole first season. And then in the second season, he's like tortured and, you know, screaming and, you know, having fevers and stuff like that. It was nice to see that. But then, you know, there was a lot of angst through that one as well of, you know, relationships fraying and girls versus, you know, do you spend more time with your buddies? Do you spend more time with the girls? That was a whole dynamic. So that got a little tedious at times, but yeah, I liked it.
Yeah, it was all right. Well, one thing that's been, not, I think it's a spoiler, but the reveal is that the three movies are connected as one big giant story too.
Yeah.
The director had said that.
Yeah. And we got a little teaser for Season 4 for that too. They just put up a teaser last week.
Oh yeah.
Saying that we're not in Hawkins anymore. So they're going to take it outside of that little town, which for the first time would be interesting.
All right. Okay. Yeah. Good Omens.
Good Omens. What do you think of Good Omens?
I enjoyed it. The book was much better.
Well, yeah. That goes
without saying. I enjoyed it because I liked two actors.
They were really, really quite charming. I enjoyed them and their performances very much.
Yeah. It did seem pretty short. But then I've read a bunch of Neil Gaiman stuff in the last two or three years. So the stories all kind of, they're very similar. They all melt together after a while. But yeah. So I did enjoy Good Omens TV show. It was interesting.
Yep.
Again, very pretty, nice, interesting to watch. And
yeah,
you definitely watched that and you know, you paid attention while you watched it.
Well, and apparently it was, so Neil Gaiman was very involved in the creation of that TV show and apparently did such a good job. He's going to be the showrunner for the Sandman series that they've been pushing out there. So, you know, if that was an audition for what he's capable of, that's awesome. Cool. I'm like very more excited for Sandman than I was before.
All right.
The Boys?
The Boys is the movie that friend of the show Justin's working on. Is that the one?
Yes. He's working on Season 2.
I think it just wrapped up, actually.
Yeah.
So one of our relations is working. He's a sound and pyrotechnics and stuff and lighting and things. So
yeah,
he's been working on that show, which is actually filmed like next door to where I work, right?
Yeah.
Because I see these signs, you know, saying that, I forget what the sign says, but it's like, it's not them, but it is them kind of thing. Anyway.
But we joked about enjoyable. That. We went to Massey, or not Massey Hall, to Roy Thompson Hall, which it doubles for the headquarters of the super team.
Yes,
and the Boys.
Yeah.
We were there for a show a few weeks ago.
Yeah, so I liked it. I think it was pretty good. We can't wait for season number 2. Of course, the twisty end at the end. I mean, tell me you didn't see that coming.
Well, I did, but I've read the entire comic.
Oh, have you? Okay. Well, yeah. And would you have seen it coming if you hadn't read the...
Yes, totally. It was very, very, very telegraphed.
Yeah.
But nonetheless, Plus, I thought it was good. Like, I really enjoyed all the actors, and I really thought that they had a lot of depth to it. For a show that really wasn't that long, it was only, was it 6 episodes, 8 episodes, something like that?
Yeah, very sure.
It was, they actually sort of gave a lot of depth to the characters, and you know, you sort of understood their motivations and who they were and stuff.
Yeah. It's a bit like Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, because there's our hero, the protagonist is a bit like Arthur Dent, you know, sort of fish out of water,
yep,
you know, kind of thing happening there, right?
Like, yeah, very much so. Yeah.
I enjoyed it. Looking forward to it. Doom Patrol. I think I just binged through that show. Again, really wasn't paying attention to it.
Mm.
I don't know. I mean, again, what did you think? Let's ask you first, I guess.
I loved it. I really did. I wasn't sure what to make of it, because
was different from that perspective. I mean, like I said, you know, how many cop shows can you watch? How many doctor shows can you watch?
Okay, so how many superhero shows can you watch? It is unlike anything else.
Exactly. That's what I mean.
And it's that, I will give it full marks for. Like, they took huge swings. Sometimes it didn't connect, yeah, but they took huge swings on that show. The characters, their arcs, how deeply flawed, like damn right unlikable some of those times those characters mm-hmm. were. Mm-hmm. I mean, they are very, very flawed characters. Every single one of them has very unlikable traits, and yet you do find yourself rooting for them and invested in their relationships with each other. And that one went a little longer. I think it was more episodes, 15 episodes or something like that. So it was a little longer. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I just admired the hell out of that show. I like the weirdness of it. I always liked that comic book. It was always one of my favorites because it was just really far out there. They fight really weird villains. They have really weird existential, you know, storylines and stuff. Mm-hmm. And I was worried that when I heard they were going to do a show that it would be a little sanitized. But it was, you know, it was pretty raw and it was pretty gross. And it was funny and raunchy. And I, in the same way that I really enjoyed that Happy series for, again, just taking huge swings. I'm happy to have shows that are really trying to do something else and not just be a story of the week monster show, right, superheroes beat the bad guys show.
Yeah, cool. All right, well, let's get to the watch list. We're not going to do Jaime's watch list thing because he's not here. All right,
so I got a couple things. I'm not sure when we're going to get back at this. I don't know if we're going to keep doing them based on these short treks. Maybe we'll do some short ones over the next few weeks. So I'll just do a couple of quick ones that are coming out in the next couple of weeks. Next week, we're going to get the season premiere of the final season of Arrow. It's going to be a short season, only 10 episodes apparently, and it is going to be focused on the adaptation of Crisis on Infinite Earths, which we've talked about before. So they're going to do this huge across all of the DC shows, including Black Lightning. They're going to bring back all these characters, including characters from, now we know from over the summer, we're going to bring back characters from Smallville, mm-hmm. from Lois and Clark, from some of the movies, from Burt Ward from the 1966 Batman series. They're going to bring back all these different characters to be part of this, and it's all going to be built around this Arrow show. So I was getting a little bit tired of Arrow over the last couple seasons. It was starting to sort of wear on me a little bit. It was getting a little bit sort of bad guy of the weekish kind of stuff.
Right.
This I'm really looking forward to. I can't wait to see how they bring all this together. They certainly have earned my trust with lots of good stories over the years, especially when they do these crossover ones. They've had a long time to build up to it. So let's see if the payoff works out, but I'm dying to see what happens. And on October 15th, we're going to get the first episode. So that's cool.
That's funny. Yeah, yeah.
And the other one that I'll flag as well is Watchmen. So HBO's Watchmen series starts on October 20th, which is about a week and a half away. Mm-hmm. Looking forward to that one. Although, again, we talked about this previously. We've seen the trailers. We've sort of read a little bit about it. It's really hard to gauge where they're going with this. They've said it's not a strict adaptation, of course. We've already seen a movie version of this. Very, very seminal work of in a graphic novel.
How close was the movie to the novel?
Quite.
Oh, okay.
There were some obvious, you know, differences because Watchmen, the book, is very much of its time. It's built in Cold War America. It's very much focused on that culture. It's of its time. This, they tried to sort of modernize it a little bit and change things up. It's good. It's not by any means great, but it's good.
Okay.
But the TV series looks like it's just sort of set in that world, but not necessarily grounded to that storyline. So it's, again, we talked about this with superhero shows. How many dystopia shows can you have? You know, we've got Handmaid's Tale. We've got, you know, all these things about, well, what happens after the, you know, society and fascism and all these different elements that sort of come into play. Okay. I trust the people who are working on the show. They're smart. They're good creators. I trust HBO as the makers of quality television. So I will absolutely give this show a watch. I'm infinitely curious to see what they're going to do with it. The cast seems interesting,
mm-hmm.
but I'm going into this one with, you know, a little bit of trepidation as to what adding the name Watchmen to something. Watchmen in comics is an incredibly high bar. Right, you wouldn't dare compare Watchmen the comics to another comic. That would be, you know, obviously putting it at the highest pedestal, right?
Right, yeah.
I worry about putting that on a TV show and it not delivering. Mm-hmm. But yeah.
All right, and the last one.
The last one I had was, and again, I don't know if we're going to get back at it before this, but I did want to flag that we're only right now, not just about a month away from the launch of Disney Plus. And we talked about Disney Plus earlier in this episode. There is a ton of stuff in the works for Disney Plus, but right off the hop, the first thing that we're going to get, and one of the reasons why people might want to jump in earlier than later, is The Mandalorian. Right. We've seen a couple trailers for this.
Are we getting Disney Plus in Canada?
We are getting it on the same day, same launch day. So it's on November 12th.
We'll be able to subscribe. Not going to see, this is the only place to watch The Mandalorian.
Only place you can watch it. It is an exclusive. So we've seen a couple trailers. It looks really interesting. It looks like that sort of grittier, darker sort of Tatooine mob side of the Star Wars universe. It doesn't look like it's rooted on any of our established characters. So this is really the first time that Star Wars has done that thing that we've always talked about wanting it to do, which is to stop focusing on nostalgia and start expanding the universe. So I'm very, very curious to see if this pays off the way that it potentially could.
Mm-hmm. Cool. All right. So now to me. Over to me.
Over to you.
So yeah, I went and saw a movie called Ad Astra from, which was at TIFF again, but I saw it in the theaters and it was just, you know, had some time. It came out, wanted to go see it in IMAX in this case.
And you love a space movie.
I love a space movie, especially ones with suspended animation, long travel. And so it's interesting. It takes place like, you know, I don't think it's any spoiler to sort of say that he's looking for his father, who happens to be Tommy Lee Jones, right? Mm-hmm. And it's sort of like he's disappeared and they got a signal back from around Neptune or something. He seems to be there. He's been there for 16 years. I don't know what he ate for 16 years or who didn't care for 16 years. But so he and a bunch of people survive up there. And there's an effect that their being there has on the rest of the world that's causing issues. And that's why Brad Pitt's character is meant to go and sort of investigate, not necessarily go and rescue his dad kind of thing. There's a lot of the moon is a sort of it's very realistic from the point of view of where they think space exploration is going. Like, you know, you go from the Earth to the moon. Actually, it begins with Brad Pitt working as an astronaut on a big giant antenna that shoots up out of the Earth so high up into the sky that you have to wear an astronaut's suit to work on this antenna. Hmm. Like, it's actually connected to the ground and it goes all the way up into space, right? So this big giant antenna. But the moon is a stepping point. There's a colony on the moon and it's all developed and built up. So it's kind of like flying from here to LA to Australia kind of thing, you know? Mm-hmm. So if you think of the moon is sort of like LAX kind of thing, right? So he goes from the moon and then he goes to Mars, and Mars is where the sort of connection to the Neptune mission is springing from. And it's all sort of like, you know, need to know kind of basis kind of story. But like I said, he's just been there to explore investigate, I mean. So he wasn't really going to go. But of course, you know, being a Brad Pitt movie, he has to sort of hold a Tom Cruise card and, you know, jump on a spaceship and go off and save the day kind of thing, right? Mm-hmm. It's a bit of, what's the space movie with Sandra Bullock?
Gravity?
Gravity. It's got a bit gravity-ish. Like, there's a lot of very unrealistic space events that happen that, you know, chances of survival are slim to none. And yet, you know, our hero, you know, gets through unscathed, you know, doesn't even have to break out a Band-Aid in the entire movie. you know, and there's, you know, some sort of Lara Croft kind of leaping from one chasm to the other and grabbing on with his fingers, you know, again, totally realistic. Mm-hmm. My one complaint about the movie, besides the fact, is where did they get the food that they ate during these long space travels? There's one point there where he has to travel a long way. Mm-hmm. Got some stubble on his face like you have right now, right? And when he arrives back on Earth at the end and takes his helmet off, the stubble has not grown.
Okay.
So, I mean, I mentioned this to Mark on More Than Just Code, and he said, well, maybe he shaved the day before he arrived, just, you know, because he knew he was coming back to Earth.
Well, we saw Matt Damon do that in The Martian, right? He's getting picked up, so he shaves off that big beard, right? Because he wants to look his best if he's going to go meet his fate, right?
I guess. I don't know. Yeah, it's sort of like you kind of expect that they would be more like Castaway, you know, where you got the Robinson Crusoe thing going with the, you know, the rags and the long hair and the beard, or Count of Monte Cristo kind of thing, you know. Those are much more realistic portrayals of someone who's been stuck in a place for a long time, you know. I mean, like, if you think about it, like traveling from one planet to another in a small capsule the size of a Volkswagen, you know, talk about the cramps altitude yet, you know, like,
oh yeah.
You know, and then again, what do you eat? Where do you put the food? How do you grow it? You know, like exact all that kind of stuff. And then, but it's interesting too, because there's a couple of characters in the movie who have never actually been to Earth. They were born and raised, and now they're adults living, you know, on another planet. So from that point of view, like the way that space travel happens, like Interstellar, it's very realistic in terms of how what could possibly happen, notwithstanding the Tesseract and there.
Yeah.
So that was really cool. So Ad Astra is one. So, and of course, I mentioned TIFF, and I want to talk about three movies I saw at TIFF. Two of them I actually had tickets for, and the third one I got a free ticket because it was one of the winner select ones, right? So I saw a movie called Parasite, and it's a Korean, I believe it's Korean, film with Korean subtitles, and it's amazing romp. It's not very sci-fi-ish, but it's got these grifters. I guess a family of grifters are so poor that they have to grift their way into higher society. They end up taking over this house, and you know, first of all, the son goes as an English teacher to teach this young Korean daughter, and then he works his sister in as the art teacher. And they pretend they don't know each other. Mm-hmm. Going here, my ears needs my attention. And then they work the mother in, and the father ends up being a chauffeur, and all that. And it just in madness ensues. And then it's actually listed as a horror movie, and I'm not going to spoil that for people because it does have a interesting climactic ending. But yeah, it's definitely worth watching. When it comes to Netflix, they'll probably run it with an overdub. But even in the original language, and reading the subtitles, like the jokes were very successful. Like, you know, the entire audience would guffaw at the same time once the words came up on the screen and we could see what they're saying, right?
But nice.
I'm curious to see how someone who actually speaks the language relates to the movie. But yeah, it's a very, very good movie. Wouldn't be surprised if it gets nominated for a foreign language film at the Oscars.
Interesting.
Yeah. Another one I saw, and this is our friend Hillary, or Felicity Huffman, who we talked about on the show, I believe. She famously, the day before I saw the movie, had just been convicted and sentenced to 14 days in jail for helping her daughter with her SAT scores. Mm-hmm. She was in a movie called Tammy's Always Dying. And what was interesting about this is she plays this woman, older woman who smokes. Her daughter, the actress who plays her daughter, is amazing. And of course, you know, the actors, and when you see these movies, sometimes the actors and stuff come out and they talk about the movie after the show.
Yeah, yeah.
Now I'm thinking I must have seen another movie. I saw two movies from the there was a whole steering towards, you know, supporting women in things. So one movie I saw was called, I can't remember what it was, but it'll come back to me in a minute. But it was written by a couple of women, produced by a couple of women, and of course it had women acting. Oh, the one with Heather Graham. I don't know if you heard about that one.
No.
She plays a divorcee who her husband dies, her ex-husband dies and leaves the new family penniless. And so she's got a daughter, and so the daughter has a stepsister in this new relationship. And so the new wife moves in with the old wife and the two daughters, and they live together for a short period of time. And so really interesting. And it's, you know, from a female perspective, is one of those movies where I forget what the stat is, but it's two women talking to each other for more than 20 minutes without talking about a man.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. The Bechdel test. Yeah.
Yeah. What is it? Bechdel?
Bechdel test. Yeah.
Bechdel test. Yeah. So it totally passes that. And the kids are hilarious in it. The one daughter is totally into texting on her phone. You know, at one point, the two younger daughters, the older parents are arguing and, you know, at each other like, you know, a couple of cats, right? And so the two younger daughters jump in the car and they scream off to go and have a hamburger at a place where their dad used to take them, right? But so the younger daughter, her phone rings and she says, "What is it with old people and phone calls?" Text back, "Leave us alone," right? That was the best line in the entire movie. What is it with the old people and phone calls? Yeah, so that was and what the hell was the name of that movie? Anyway, that's my fourth pick. But Tammy's Always Dying was an amazing portrayal. She plays a older alcoholic woman constantly trying to kill herself, and her daughter constantly has to rescue her. And it's all about how the daughter's trapped in this toxic relationship with her mother, and there's a whole self-help angle, and you know, she ends up on TV and stuff. But what's amazing about this is it's filmed in Hamilton.
Oh yeah,
it's so obviously filmed in Hamilton, right? And Felicity Huffman's is such an amazing actress that she actually sounded like she was from Hamilton.
Oh nice.
Yeah, so like totally believable as a Canadian, you know, and all that kind of stuff, and regional to our particular way of talking, right? Especially Hamilton, right? That was great. And you know, and yeah, like, you know, Hamilton itself got applause at the end of the director came out and they sort of said, "What locations did you choose for this film? It looks so much like Hamilton." She says, "We filmed it in Hamilton," you know. know, it wasn't Toronto standing in for Hamilton. Like,
no, Hamilton's got a pretty distinctive feel.
Yeah, for sure, for sure. And the last movie I saw, and again, so if you're a TIFF member, you get to go to see one of the winning movies for free. And the People's Choice movie was Jojo Rabbit. Didn't get into that one.
Yeah.
And it was like almost impossible to get. In fact, I waited in the rush line, and the rush line was like probably 2 hours long, and there was no chance. And they had like five screens. There's no way we would get in to see that. But they used to show it at the Roy Thomson Hall, right? Which would have meant that like it's at 3,000 people, right?
Yep.
We probably could have got into that one. Although they would have given out 3,000 tickets, so I guess standing in the rush line for that would have been done.
Yeah, exactly.
But the movie I did see, I actually called up, and you had to call in. There was no online purchasing of tickets. Horrible, by the way. But for the winning tickets, you have to call in or go to the box office. So I sat on hold with my phone and Carol's phone for like 2 hours. I think Xavier was here that day. And so I finally got through, and I got the last ticket for the Midnight Madness screening of, which wasn't at midnight, but that was the series that it ran under, called The Platform. Mm-hmm. And The Platform is very, very, very similar to Cube. What it is basically is you either are convicted of some wrongdoing.
Oh, I heard about this one. Yeah.
So the guy wants to quit smoking, so he volunteers to go into the platform for 6 months. And what you end up doing is it's a concrete bunker, right, with a hole in the middle, and it's one bed on either side, and you and your cellmate, right? And this platform, they put gorgeous food, like they culinary expertise and all this. They pile this platform up with food, and it comes down the platform, right? So if you're on platform one, you get first dibs at all the food, and then platform two, and so on, so whatever, right? So he ends up on like platform 36 or whatever. Don't quote me on this, but in his first go, and every month you change to it. You wake up and you're in a new platform. They drug you and you put you on a new level, and it's random in terms of where you end up. At one point, he ends up on level 6, but you know he's on this first platform with this really crazy guy, and he's like the food comes down. The guy just starts eating all this food, and he's like, that's other people's leftovers you're eating, and he's like, I'm not eating that. And he goes, and then of course when the platform moves down, he spits onto the food, like the old guy spits onto the food of the people below. Like it's like the people are defecating and spitting and whatever, and riding up and down on the platform to go from one level to the other. But then at one point he ends up on the very, very bottom level, or very close to what he thinks is the bottom level, and it's like empty dishes. Right, so it's sort of this whole sort of thing, like what would you do to survive in this situation? What would you do as a general? Like at one point he's imprisoned by, he's in his cellmate is one of the people who put him in there, and she's going around and she's like making plates of food and then telling people below, I'm setting up a plate of food for you, and you should do the same thing for the people below you. Trying to put some sort of logic into reasoning and civilization of this whole, and yet the people below are just like, they're just going to dive in and start chewing on stuff as well, right? So
yeah.
But it's this whole sort of twist, and it's very similar to the movie Cube in terms of like, how do you get out of the situation? How do you, anyway? So I won't give away the ending, but interesting sci-fi, very sci-fi, pulp fiction-y kind of story, right? So
It sounds like a 50s pulp book,
But it's totally like, like the premise is disgusting. The whole thing is disgusting. There's murders and killing and knives. And you can just imagine, people, the kind of extent that people will go to survive kind of thing, right?
Yeah.
Interesting. Yeah. And he's sort of like, he's got this sense of decency to him, right? And he's, he's very like, how would a Canadian react in this situation?
Amongst
Americans or something. Not to say anything bad against Americans.
No.
Of course not.
Our favorite people that aren't Canadian.
Yeah. Anyway, so I think we'll probably do, I think last year we did each one of the short trucks. We did a quick little episode on each one of those. So there's no reason to think we wouldn't be back within next week or the week after, talk about the Tribble episode and whatever comes after that. And hopefully, and then we got to ride it out till there's no Avengers movies anymore. So we can't really, no other reason for us to come back.
Right? Well, we'd have to decide. There's a couple things coming up. Is the Terminator movies coming out? We can decide if we want to go see Terminator.
Right. I just Batman.
Jojo Rabbit is coming.
Wait, we're going to go see Terminator. What are you talking about?
Okay, well, you know what I'm saying. It's whether or not our third partner in crime is going to be watching it as well. Yeah.
What's his name?
With a J.
J-Lo or something like that?
J-Lo, that's it. J-Lo.
J-Lo Jr.
Yeah. There's still a few movies coming out over the next little bit, too, that we have to sort of decide whether or not we want to recap. But we obviously, people who are looking for some regular routine in our schedules will be looking ahead to January when we can start sinking our teeth into Picard for a couple months in a row.
All right. So, hey, Jonathan, if people want to get in touch with you on the interwebs, fans, where will they find you?
You can always find me on Twitter and Instagram as @JPKNews.
My name is Timitra, T-I-M-M-I-T-R-A, on the Twitter machine is where you'll find me. So until next time, we'll see you in the future.
Bye.
That concludes another episode of Spotcast, streamed to you via Subspace Signal. I'm friend of the show, Greg Keough, joining you from Sector 001. If you want to find out more about the podcast or see the episode show notes, visit the Spotcast website at spotcast.com. You can get in touch with your Star Trek nerd hosts on the website or follow them on Twitter. They're @Spotcast. If you have feedback or questions, send them a tweet with the hashtag AskSpotcast. If you like the show, please consider recommending it to a friend, writing a review on iTunes, or pledging any amount of Gold Press Latinum at patreon.com/spotcast. You can find details on how to help them out on the website, spotcast.com/sponsor us. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you in the future. Wishing you peace and long life.
We didn't talk about Batwoman.
We didn't talk about Batwoman.
I forgot about Batwoman. We want to save that one for Jaime for next week?
Well, we can do a bit of an after show on it.
Yeah.
What did you think?
Not the strongest pilot I've ever seen.
That was a pilot?
That was the pilot. So that was okay. The first episode. That was the pilot.
Did you know that Bruce Wayne was Batman?
This just in.
What?
I love that my favorite what the hellism in that show was there, and then again, spoilers for anyone who hasn't seen it yet. Mm-hmm. It's not a really spoilerific show so far, but no. There's a scene where in Bruce's office, mm-hmm. which his cousin Kate mm-hmm. is in, mm-hmm. she sees Martha Wayne's pearls
right.
hanging on a string.
Right.
And she
in a pyramid, yeah.
In a pyramid, and that is just a clue that leads her to another mystery and everything
yeah,
else.
Yeah.
In every telling of the murder of Bruce Wayne's parents,
they spill
all over the ground.
Yeah.
Does he go back and get them? Does he collect
wipe
them?
Wipe the blood off of them or whatever?
Yeah. So that one kind of lost me a little bit, but I don't know. I was kind of intrigued about this one. The Batwoman comics that have been done over the last sort of 6-8 years, some of them are fantastic. I love them. And really good storytellers, amazing artists. There's been some really interesting Kate Kane Batwoman stories.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm a fan of the character. And again, as far as steps forward in television, obviously having a gay character as the lead is a huge step forward. So that's great to see. I can't say that I loved Ruby Rose so far. I did not think she was particularly strong. She's the lead actress, the one who plays Kate.
Ruby Rose is her name?
Is her name, yes.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
I can't say that I thought she was particularly strong as an actress. I've only ever seen her in a couple of other things. Mm-hmm. She was in Orange is the New Black and a couple other things. Okay. She's a little one note for me. Now, maybe she's playing it really subdued. Maybe she's going for a sort of nouveau Bruce Wayne thing.
Yeah.
But I found it a little bit like her range wasn't where I'd like it to be. Maybe we'll see better. You know, again, pilots are never the best example of what a show is going to be. It usually takes them at least, you know, 4 or 5 episodes to really sort of find it. So I'm in. I'll watch it. Right. But didn't knock my socks off. What'd you think? The thing is, the shows that I think I prefer out of the DC stuff that they're showing right now on CW, I like The Flash and I like Supergirl the best. Yeah. And part of the reason I love those is that they are atypical to the superhero stories which we see so much from DC, which are really kind of heavy and grimy and things like that. Mm-hmm. The Arrow show and Black Lightning and Legends can be a little bit goofy too, although there has been some sort of dark storylines in there too. But those ones are really sort of moody and dark. And that's what this one felt like. It feels like, as you said, it's like another cop show. It's another Batman show. It's villain of the week. And there's an overarching plot that lasts over the season. And then there's a new big bad for the next season. It's very Buffy the Vampire Slayer, you know, like, mm-hmm. but not as charming, funny, or well written. Right, right. So again, I'll give it the benefit. I'm certainly in, if only for the fact that it's going to be part of this big Infinite Earths crossover.
Yeah.
But yeah, I, I think, you know, there's certainly room for growth in there. I think it's interesting where they're going with it. I'm glad that they're putting more women in the front roles. I think it's great that they're putting more LGBTQ plus characters in those roles, particularly the one who actually is that. That's another nice step forward too. Yeah. So like, again, great as far as inclusion, but I think it's also, you got to make a good show.
Yeah, that's true. I'm enjoying Stumptown better.
Yeah, I didn't, I haven't tuned in for that one yet, although I've read a bit of the comic, and so, and I like Cobie Smulders. I think she's good, so.
Yeah, it's a bit, it's kind of like a tamer version of Jessica Jones.
Yeah, it's like, what if Jessica Jones was on regular network television?
Yeah, and couldn't swear and drink as much.
Yeah, yeah.
Because she does drink a lot. Yeah, I mean, I've watched two episodes so far. It definitely got my attention, you know, for a lot of reasons, you know, because I just don't watch cop shows anymore. And mind you, I'm watching The Rookie, so there you go. You know, it's got Nathan Fillion in it, right? So
yeah, that's another one. I never watched any of it. I watched all of Castle because, again, I like Nathan a lot. I think he's funny and charming and very, again, he plays a very likable character.
Yeah.
But Castle got really the same thing. It's like a crime of the week, procedural, you know, they did have some good, you know, really interesting twisty ones in there, but a lot of it was just sort of crime of the week. And as soon as you see the face that you recognize, you're like, well, that's clearly going to be the person who actually committed the crime, because you wouldn't want to have an anonymous person. It has to be a good guest star, you know, like it was,
right.
You know, network TV is unfortunately a little too formulaic at this point, and the formulas are all programmed into my cerebral cortex. So, yeah, we'll see how it turned out.
It was an experiment.
It was an experiment. Yeah.
Sorry.
You get what you get. You got a couple of goons talking about sci-fi stuff and trying out stuff.
Pictures of me picking my nose while he's, you know, talking. That's probably what you were going to get, though.
Probably.
We apologize.
All right. You have to know where your horizon is, right? You got to.
Well, I mean, the problem is my camera's up there. Right?
Yeah.
Right? And I'm looking at you over there.
Yeah, I moved. At one point, I had you sort of off to this side, and then I centered you so that at least the camera would be right over your head. So it's closer to the middle.
I did the same thing, too. But look up, but I'm recording on my side. So I don't know what, like right now I'm talking and yet the green line is around your face. So.
Well, we'd appreciate your feedback, folks. Tell us what you think. I can change the view up next week so you don't have to look at Howard and Marty. I've got some other posters and. So why don't we pause our recording and we'll say goodbye. And then I have a couple of follow-up questions for you. So.
All right.
All right. Bye, everyone.
Stop recording. Bye.